Nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos. Lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the last 1 hour of our show this morning, the Morning Crossfire. And let's break things down concerning what Lagos, Nigeria has been talking about. You know, when this issue came up yesterday, quite a number of you came up and said, they want to increase tax again. Oh, yeah. And I said, look, we're going to speak with the chairman of that committee. The chairman that the president, I think they were inaugurated on Tuesday,
yes.
Right? Okay, good. So we're going to talk about that much later on. And as in right now, to bring light to some of your concerns, really. I have Taiwo Edele. You heard his voice already. He's the chairman of the Presidential Committee on Fiscal Policy and Tax Reforms. So Edele, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Arif. Good morning, Nigeria.
Are you people increasing tax?
No. That I can say confidently. We have no plans to increase taxes. Yeah. In fact, we want to reduce them by eliminating many taxes. And I have to say, this is a plan, not a promise. Okay. The idea is to reduce the over 60 different taxes we have officially. Unofficially, there are more than that. We want to be able to reduce that to a single digit. So that across federal government, state, and local government, you don't pay more than 10 taxes. So we are confident that this is possible with the support from everyone.
Yeah, the president said, it made a statement that the era of borrowing to fund public expenditure is over. How is he going to be able to do that, especially now that we don't have money? Do we have money?
We don't. We don't. We're still borrowing. So, but I think the plan is to get from where we are now to where we'd like to be, which is be able to fund your operations yourself. Mm-hmm. Last year, the federal government spent close to 96% of its revenue just servicing debt. Mm-hmm. With that, there's nothing left for development. You have to borrow to do almost everything. And the cost of borrowing is so high, it creates a further problem the subsequent year. So we have to reset.
Okay.
So what the president is hoping we'll be able to do is, if you are going to repeal so many taxes, you are not introducing new ones, how do you raise the revenue to balance the budget? We think that the tax gap, which is the difference between what you are collecting and what you should be collecting as we speak today, we think is around 20 trillion naira. That 20 trillion naira was estimated based on the African average. So we're not even going beyond Africa.
Okay.
The average tax to GDP ratio for Africa is 16%.
Okay.
If you take out Nigeria and you recalculate that average, it is 18%.
Mm-hmm.
So Nigeria should just get to the African average. That's where the 18% came from. Now, if you take that 18%, Nigeria's GDP is roughly about 200 trillion naira today.
Oh.
So that gives you about 36 trillion. We currently collect across all levels of government about 16. So easily, this rough estimate makes a lot of sense to me that the gap is around 20 trillion. So which means all you need to do is get people who need to pay that are not paying. Some are not paying at all. Some are not paying correctly. You now see that the burden is falling disproportionately on the poorest people, who are actually the people you should protect. And this also came up in, I think it was, must have been 2017 or thereabout, when the vice president, former vice president, Yemi Osinbajo, was acting as the president, and we launched the voluntary asset income declaration scheme, a tax amnesty. And the data that the government had showed that 96% of people paying the taxes at the state level were PAYE people. Yeah, civil servant, people struggling to survive. It was heartbreaking for me. So we need to change that. Let's take the burden away from the poorest people, get the people who should be paying to pay the right amount of tax. You get two benefits from that. First, you raise the revenue that you need to fund the system. Two, when you allow tax evasion to be pervasive, you still have a good number of honest people who are trying to do the right thing. You make them uncompetitive. So you and I are doing the same business. You pay your tax correctly. Me, I decide not to pay my tax. I have so much more money than you that I can use to even price you out of the market. So we cannot have the society that we hope for if we allow this to continue. And the other areas where we think the money will come from without introducing new taxes, number one is to reduce the cost of collection.
Okay.
Our cost of collecting taxes is embarrassingly high. Let me put it that way. Globally, the target is not more than 1%.
Okay.
As is somewhere in the range of 5 to 10%. In some instances, it's as high as 35%. And they take this from source before they remit the money to the government. You also have incentives. Some of them were okay, reasonable 20, 30 years ago. We haven't looked at them for so long. We think it's now time to take a second look. We're going to be looking at cost-benefit analysis. Government is giving away 10 naira. What are we getting in return? If it's less than 10 naira, that incentive no longer makes sense. Let's rationalize it. Remove distortion that comes from incentives that are not clear. And then limit them, make them targeted, and provide sunset so that they're not there forever. So we think that these combined initiatives and ideas is where the money will come from. And that's why the president was confident to say we'll stop borrowing.
Okay. I mean, look, one of the things I cherish most about you is how to break these things down for my people to understand. I will also like the taxpayers, my people, to be able to call in on the show and ask all the questions that, you know, they want to ask, because I know quite a number of people would have a lot of questions for you. If you've got questions, please send them in on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. We'll open up the telephone lines in a moment, but we quickly need to get to some places in our conversation this morning before we can do all of that. Zayo, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, people who are supposed to be paying these taxes that are not paying, that have not been paying, or some that are paying but they're not paying what they should be paying.
Yeah.
So that speaks to one thing for me, a defective system, a structure that is, that has been compromised. And you still have these players in this structure.
Yes.
How do you intend to do
this? Very good question, my brother. So these people actually cut across. Some of them are high net worth individuals.
Exactly.
Some of them, they manage large businesses. Some of them are even in the public sector. So you have sometimes even some government-owned enterprises that are into business and not paying their taxes correctly. In fact, we, you know, from the Auditor General's report, you also find some MDAs, even after they've collected money from contractors. So the law says, if you award a contract, both the value-added tax and the withholding tax should be retained by the government agency or ministry, and you remit to the relevant account, you know. They refuse to remit this in some cases. So we need to address that. And I think that almost every country in the world, if you allow misbehavior to go unpunished or you allow very little or no consequences, more people will do it because you've given them incentives to do it. So I do not think that Nigerians are just bad people, right? It's because the system has been a sort of an enabler for this to continue for so long. And we're now saying, no, we don't want that to continue anymore. if we think, for example, that we shouldn't be paying, and that's my personal view, we shouldn't ask companies to pay 30% corporate income tax, 3% education tax, information technology. If we add it up, companies in Nigeria are paying close to 40%. This is one of the highest in the world. Maybe the conversation is it should be 25%. But whatever it is that we agree on, using data and evidence, everybody should pay it. There should be no exceptions. There should be no entity that is above the law and they can do whatever they like. So,
is there going to be a conversation between your committee and stakeholders, Manufacturers Association of Nigeria, for instance, the other groups? Are you going to have conversations on this? Is it going to be a mutual agreement?
Wonderful question. This is at the heart of what we want to do.
Yeah.
So we have a long list of membership. Of course, we can't include everyone. So what we are then doing is we're going to have extensive stakeholder engagement, and we have so many groups, including people living with disability.
Oh, brilliant.
We have traders. We have farmers. Mm. We have Nigerians in the diaspora. Because sometimes you don't remember that they are a key stakeholder. They are still Nigerians. Mm. It doesn't matter which other citizenship that they have. Real estate sector, transport, college, hospitality, creative sector as well. The entertainer, even the media, we're going to be coming to you guys, apart from, you know, inviting me to talk to you like this.
Right.
MSMEs, fintech, capital market, it's a long list. We're speaking to everyone. We do not want to pretend that we know all the answers. We want to be able to co-create this solution with the Nigerian people. So even the government officers, the tax collectors, we're going to be speaking to everyone. Right. And our plan is first to tell you what we're planning to do and then listen.
Okay.
And then we come back and give you the feedback. You know, you told us to do 1, 2, 3, 4. We are doing 1, 2, 3, 4. We are unable to do for the following reasons, right? Because sometimes people may not always agree with everything you want. And to be honest, without preempting this consultation, I expect everybody will look for incentive to give us more incentive, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually impossible to give everybody incentive, but you need to then explain, for example, if you're unable to grant it, the reasons why you're unable to do so and what else you're giving in exchange for not giving incentives.
Mr. Tayo, another thing that people, one of the reservations of people is the fact that there is that issue of multiple taxation. So people pay the federal, they pay the state, they pay the local government. You know, in some instances, the local government is turning into another thing entirely because there's hardly a record for this. I mean, look, you are the expert here. Is there a plan to harmonize all of this?
Yes. The answer is yes. You know, in my previous role as a research director for the Nigeria Economy Summit Group, we did a national study and we're speaking to Nigerian people, businesses, small and large, and then to tax officers. We went around asking local government how much money they collected. In over 90% of the local government, they had no records.
Ooh.
Those who had records, we found out that majority of them, the amount they said they had collected from taxes was not enough to pay the salaries of people collecting the taxes. So which means, on paper, if you close down those units and say, let's not collect any taxes, government will be better off. So the plan we have is first to try and harmonize those taxes such that, you know, maybe you pay only just one or two taxes at the local government level.
Okay.
And the way and manner in which you pay it will be so transparent. If it's to do start something, right? And just pay it on your, and the receipt comes on your phone.
Yeah.
So that way there's nobody intercepting it, giving you fake receipts. And we also hope that we'll be able to develop like a template model for states. So we say this is how to harmonize all your taxes along with your local government in one document. So you can now just adopt it, right? So that helps us. We know we cannot impose anything on them. We recognize their right to impose taxes as granted by the Constitution. But we also know that they love Nigeria and they want this country to progress. So we think that they'll come on board.
Indeed. Now, let's take one or two calls before we head out on this first break in this hour. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Please go straight to the point when you're calling in. Please, straight to the point. Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is Lawrence Delore.
Let's hear you.
Okay, I like your guest analysis. The question I want to ask is, he talked about some people are paying what they are not supposed to pay, but some people are not paying at all. For those that have been paying tax correctly, can he just tell us what are the benefits of those people paying correct tax? We have been paying tax since 2007 in Lagos. I can tell you, if you go to my street, it's a no-go area. Anytime it rains, there's no common water, the ordinary water everybody needs, nothing. So what is the benefit of those paying taxes correctly? Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence Delore. And he rightly took that out of my mouth because we were going to talk about, you know, what actually discourages most people from paying taxes because they feel that they actually don't have any benefit, you know, from this. How is this going to change the mind? How do you plan to change the mindset of the people towards embracing paying their tax?
Yeah, it's painful and I could feel, you know, the color as he was saying it. And this is why Nigerians will tell you that that sometimes they feel like they're a local government to themselves. So you pay the tax to government and then you still take care of what government should normally do for you if the system was working. We all agree and acknowledge that this is not the way we want our country to run. The way to address that going forward, and by the way, that study that we did shows that Nigerians' tax morale, that's your belief that you should pay your taxes and that evasion is wrong, is what we call tax morale, is one of the lowest we've seen in the world, where only 17% of Nigerian adults think they should pay their taxes correctly. 83% don't see anything wrong in not paying. And they said to us the reason is because they don't trust governments and they don't feel like they get enough for the little that they pay. So the way to fix that is to get everyone who needs to pay almost as possible, maybe as 98% to pay the right amount, in which case you then have more money. And then we have to hold government to account first by ensuring that they report the taxes they collect correctly and transparently, and then how they spend it. That's what we call the quality of spending. Don't build a 10-kilometer road and say it's 10 billion when it could have been one. And then it's not properly done. It takes 15 years to complete. So those are the issues we're going to be spotlighting as part of the work of my committee.
Fantastic. I can't take any more calls right now, but I think I can go through one message before the break. I can see everybody wants to ask Mr. Taiwo Edele some questions. So let's see. This person said, I'm happy your guest said they are not increasing tax, but I believe effective and efficient collection will dramatically increase tax revenues in Nigeria. But I want them to watch out for illegal tax collectors, especially the ag bureaus or in the local markets. Petty traders pay lots to as much as five different collectors who claim to have come from the local government. Even painfully, the alabarus in these markets are not exempt. That's some legs from Akute. Just so we are clear, you are not collecting state taxes, are you?
No.
Welcome back to the Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I am Sheriff Quadri. I still have Taiwo Edele here on the program this morning. We'll be talking about his committee and what they plan to do. He's the chairman of the Presidential Committee on Fiscal Policy and Tax Reforms. Mr. Taiwo, let's go back to our conversation earlier about this individual who was talking about taxis at the market spaces, ag bureau and all of that, alabarus and all. And I was trying to ask whether, you know, you are involved in collecting such taxes or these are taxes for states and local governments alone. Will your committee be involved in that?
Yeah, thanks very much. So we are not involved in collecting any taxes.
Okay.
But our mandate covers the taxes that are being collected across all levels of government, so including local government, state and federal. If you look at the approved list of taxes and levies, you find some of these very annoying taxes. You know, wheelbarrow tax.
There's wheelbarrow tax.
Yes, there's kiosk tax. You know, people are just trying to make a living legitimately. And then the first thing, if I sometimes just starting a small business and you put a small signpost, it's almost like committing a crime. They'll say you have not paid a levy for advertising, you have not paid business premises levy, there's shop and kiosk tax. Before you know it, before you even generate your first ₦1 revenue, you're having to pay all manners of levies and taxes. And that's why Mr. President said we're not taxing poverty, we're not taxing investment, we're not taxing production. We'll wait and tax the returns on your investment. We'll wait and tax your income. We'll wait and tax your consumption. We are not taxing seed, we will tax fruits. So this is the principle and philosophy that is driving the work we have to do. We're hoping that we get to a point where all these annoying taxes will be a thing of the past.
I'm glad to hear that. That's such a relief. Well, let's talk about some stories that I've heard in the news that I don't know whether they're quoting you or they're quoting something else, that the government has banned agencies from collecting. That FIRS will be the sole revenue collection.
Thank you for asking, Sheriff. I think they're just people want to sensationalize everything.
Yeah.
So what I said, thanks again for the opportunity to just clarify this. So we said in many countries around the world, HMRC in the UK, SARS in South Africa, KRA in Kenya, even GRA, you know, our friends there. You have one central agency collecting taxes for government, including when those taxes belong to an agency.
Hmm.
So in Rwanda, they said to us that even if you want to do your international passport, you know, when you pay for international passport, it's not a tax because you're paying for a service.
Mm-hmm.
Even that payment is collected by the revenue service on behalf of the immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what this does, it helps with transparency and ease of payment. So, and then it takes a significant burden off that agency, so they can focus on their primary mandates, because they were not set up to collect revenues. So what we are proposing is that the FRS at the federal level becomes only the agent to help everyone collect their revenues, so those people can focus on their work. I'm very mindful, and I know very well, that many of these agencies have establishment law enacted by the National Assembly saying they should collect. So how can I say they've been banned? You can't ban them. It, not even the president can ban them.
Mm.
So this is the beginning of a process where we want to have engagement. And once we have the buy-in from these agencies with the political will, then we go to the National Assembly and say, we've now agreed as Nigerians that we want to do these things more efficiently. Help us amend the law.
Mm.
So it's a journey. And I'll say it hasn't even started yet. This is just the initial thought around it. So they haven't been banned. But we hope that we get to a point where only the FRS collects revenue on behalf of all government agencies.
Right. Let's take a few more calls now. Kemi is here to tell us one or two things about Ernest Ibersol, but let's see who is here on the line.
Hello, good morning
to you. Morning to you.
This is Joy.
Welcome, Joy.
You know what made me to call him?
Tell me.
The last statement you made. FIRS being the fourth.
FIRS.
The only. Eh?
FIRS.
Thank you. Being the only body to collect tax, so the other people will focus on their primary jobs. It is good you've gone around and you see what you got. At least Uganda, you say Uganda. I think I have you say Uganda, that this is what they do. And I know you're going to have a lot of pushback because what they are what stealing. I don't see any reason why immigration should be collecting money. I see any reason why JAM should be collecting money. I don't think they should be enacting policies to make their work easier for them. And if the House of Assembly are truthful to whatever job they have given to do,
right,
they shouldn't give you any pushback. They should enact and see it to work. So we know the people who are going to pursue when our monies are missing.
Thank you, Joy.
We know it is
Thank
just
you.
One person.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Let's see who's here. Good morning to you. That call us, Chop. We're going to take another one. Good morning to you. Morning.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, please.
Yeah. My question goes to Mr. Taiwo. I know he's an Oga accountant. I want to know what, if it's in their plan, to correct some of the anomalies. For example, I won't mention the name of the company. Recently, we bought an asset. We noticed the asset was registered with Ministry of Industry and Trade for pioneer tax or something. It was registered with one ministry for pioneer tax. Why they were registering it for pioneer tax, they registered it for 10 naira. I'm just giving an assumption now.
Okay.
They registered it for 10 naira.
Mm-hmm.
When they were importing it, because we also saw the importation document, because they have to collect everything, it was stated that they bought that asset for 4 naira. So later when I was discussing with a financial person, he said it was actually stated 4 naira for custom purpose to reduce the excise duty. Mm-hmm. It was stated 10 naira to that ministry to claim one tax rebate or one tax holiday. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the gap now. Mm-hmm. Where you are supposed to pay your excise duty, you have paid less. Now you want to recover extra 10 naira from the federal government. What are we doing to this kind of lacuna? Creative accounting, I'll be window dressing,
right.
They call it. So what are we doing on these strategies that accountants and lawyers do to reduce the burden, and we, the common guy, will now be the one that will bear their own consequence.
Right.
Thank you and good morning.
Well said.
Brilliant, brilliant points. And this just reinforces why we said let one agency do all of that. So people are playing on the fact that the system is fragmented. So I say to custom, the value is 4 naira because I don't want to pay import duties. And then when I get to pioneer status, I inflate the value so I can get more benefits. So this person is not only underpaying tax, they are overclaiming benefits. Imagine you have one system, right? And nobody will even notice that it's not custom collecting it. Yeah, it will seem very seamless. You can't go to that same system and present one item with two different values. This is not even a tax matter anymore. It's a criminal matter. And this is pervasive. So he's right. It's part of the things we hope to be able to address.
I was going to ask you about, you know, the mandates given to your committee. Could you, because of time, could you, you know, run through the mandates the president gave
you? Yes, I'll do that very quickly. So our mandate has three pillars. The first one is fiscal governance, which is really, you know, if we say there's a threshold for borrowing, your deficit should not exceed this, we should respect that. But we want, we're going to start by saying, are those limits what we want now? And then we set the right ones, and then we must respect them. How do you ensure there's coordination between fiscal and monetary authority, not like doing naira redesign and the minister is not aware? So those issues are covered under fiscal governance.
Yeah.
Then the second one is revenue transformation. This is where we're saying, how do we ensure that you don't tax poor people? You don't tax investment. How do you ensure that the people who should pay are paying the right amount of tax and paying it correctly and at the right time to the right authorities? And this is also where we're going to be looking at, how do you administer taxes? We don't want people to pay cash anymore. So simplify so they can pay through multiple channels that are auditable and credible as well. And the last one, because of time, is growth facilitation. Now, that is saying, how can you make your economy competitive? Our hope and aspiration is that Nigeria will become the center or hub for fintech, for headquarters companies, for innovation and research, as well as financial center for Africa. And to be honest, why should anybody not want to come to Nigeria if they have a business in Africa? We have young people who want to, not all of them want to travel abroad. They want to be here and work for global organizations and earn dollars. Our laws come in the way of doing that today. We say that doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's fix the law so that Nigerians will have the opportunity to earn dollars while they are in Nigeria if they don't want to relocate.
Do you have a timeline that you want to do all of these things?
Yes, indeed. The first 30 days, we started 2 days ago. Now 28 days left.
It's 2 days ago now.
It's what we call the quick wins. Okay. So what we do on that is are the things that are not controversial, where there's broad consensus, but nobody did anything about them. We're trying and fix them in 30 days. Then 6 months is critical reforms. Here we're going to be even rewriting the tax laws to simplify them, make them easy, if possible, convert them to major languages that people can understand. And then 1 year is for implementation. Now, both the 30 days, 6 months, and 1 year will run concurrently, which means if we come up with a brilliant idea today, we discuss with stakeholders and the policymakers approve it. If we need to draft an executive order, we draft it and it will be signed the day after. And we move on to the next one.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is not a committee where you write a beautiful report and then you hope and pray that it's implemented. We've done that for many decades. It hasn't worked. In fact, I'm so hopeful that if this can work out, it becomes a template for other areas of reforms in our country.
Fantastic. Welcome back. Yes, it's not Morning Crossfire again, because this is Jimmy. This is time. And he's probably laughing out loud right now for me stealing his time. Yeah, he's not here. There's nothing you can do.
He'll respond to you tomorrow.
All right. I'm going to dedicate this last 20, 25 minutes to taking your questions from Mr. Taiwo. It's just that sometimes I can't help myself. Like right now, tell me about Oriri. When a lot of people saw that, I heard comments, I read comments, when we have, you know, big tax people and governance people and everything, professors. You know, and why do you have to go and pick 400 level students?
Interesting perspective from the public. I have to also say that a lot of people were very happy for that decision.
I was excited.
Yeah, so I was actually like surprised that anybody had an issue with it.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe we have to just respect people's perspective. But to explain what exactly happened, we wanted this to be inclusive. And that's why I said people with disability, women, but even the young people as well. We're actually doing all of these, not just for today, but also for tomorrow. So what's wrong in involving them? So what we have done is to involve the university tax clubs. This way, young people on their own, without anybody prompting them, they set up what they call tax clubs. And you give them only 100,000, 200,000. They do amazing stuff with it. And they are passionate about their countries. And they're smart. So we said, why don't we bring them on board to support the work of this committee? They'll work with us at the secretariat. They'll do research. They'll contribute. They'll ask questions. So Orire was representing that constituency. So we will get them involved and rotate them. 1 month, it might be Unilag Task Club. Another one might be Abuja. University of Abuja's Task Club. That's how we're going to go around Nigeria. So that was the whole idea. And Mr. President was really pleased with the whole idea of bringing young people on board.
Just so we're clear, did you know Mr. President personally? Did you lobby for this position?
No, I did not. I did not ask for it. In fact, it was the other way around. And I have to give the credit to the government. They did a lot to convince me. Because I've been working with government.
What do you mean, convince you?
Yeah, I've been working with government, Sheriff, for over 10 years in Nigeria. I know it can be very complicated. And sometimes politicians will say all the right rhetorics, but they have no intention of implementing all of it. And I value my time. So the question to me was, would this be worth it? Because for many people may know already, I had to resign from my job. But Mr. President, we haven't met before the inauguration. We haven't met one-on-one. But then his team were constantly saying to me, we want this to work. Tell us what you want. How do we, you know? And to be honest, they passed 100% of the test of showing that political will and giving me the freedom to decide a lot of things about the committee. So that's what led to it. So we met for the first time during the inauguration.
That was the first time you were meeting him?
Yes, that was the first time.
You had never met him before?
I've never met him before. So all of this was based on they think this guy can do the job. Yeah.
Okay.
No, 0% lobbying. 0%.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive. Now, let's get to some questions here. I have some. I'll come to the telephone in a moment, please. Let's just get through some here on our live stream. I have one here from Canis. Canis says, please ask your guest how they plan to eliminate corruption at FIRS, which discourages entrepreneurs and SMEs.
Good question. So I was privileged that I was working with PwC while I was at the private sector. Okay. And because of that brand, they don't ask me for bribe. But I know very well many of my friends who run their own firms.
Yeah.
Even the guy that called before the break saying that, you know, they said it was 4 naira for imports. You wouldn't say that to PwC, but people are going through that almost on a daily basis. And not only, you know, at the federal level, sometimes it's even worse at the sub-national level. So what we plan to do is to speak to Nigerians, including tax consultants, accountants, everyone, including the tax officers themselves, to identify where those problems are coming from. We think the best way to deal with the problem is to solve it structurally.
Okay.
What is it that is enabling it? Why are we asking for tax clearance certificates and you become so desperate? Maybe I should allow you to do your business, collect the intelligence, and come after you later. So if processes are easy and I limit human interface. So imagine you can go on your phone. It doesn't matter whether it's smart or not. You can get the basic things done without going to see anyone. And maybe we also need a whistleblowing framework. So we have some ideas on how to address that problem. And we think that working with Nigerians will be able to address it significantly.
Indeed. Let's head back to the telephone now and take one or two before we go to Facebook, where we have people who have dropped questions for us already. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Sheriff, I heard your guest say that they are going to task income, not something. I hope it doesn't mean that somebody should go into somebody's account and be taking money like they wanted to us. Even some of them, my brother experienced it some time ago. Because most monies are in our accounts. You know, sometimes you're going to do something and you need to beef up your account. You now ask, you know, friends and relations to please help you and all that. So most times, the monies in the accounts don't count that they are your income. You understand?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
In the market, I sell clothes. Most times you buy things like some of the clothes we bought for like, you know, at 740 when dollar was at 7. Now it's almost 900 and something when you want to order. And you don't even sell up to that because if you insist on the new rate, nobody buys. You understand? So sometimes they come in. When Fashola was there, you know, once you pay tax at that time, he sends you like that BFR Raji, something B, Raji Fashola.
Right.
You get that text. Yes, I always get it.
Okay.
I encourage people in the market to pay taxes. When you see what is being used for.
Yes, for
some time, I haven't done that because I've always calling you for that 10 million bridge something.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing has been done.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really bother. But what I'm saying is, we pay, like the local government, they'll come and give you money, something to pay, and they insist on you coming to their office to pay. And then you notice that what is written is not what was collected.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
And then some of them have banks, like some local governments. They have banks that they insist you can pay. If you don't, because they already have a proxy account in those banks. Once you pay in another bank, they will tell you, we didn't see this, we didn't bring this. Me, I don't even listen to them, I just pay put. You understand?
Mm.
Once you don't go to that particular bank, mostly near their office, because they've already opened it with the same name, and the banks will know them, that is not the normal account.
Mm.
Once you don't go there, that particular number, account number they give you, you're already running into a problem.
Mm.
How are they going to do this? I don't want anybody to put a hand and take somebody's money that is in my account.
Right.
Good morning.
Very good question. And I had to, I supported a lot of small businesses with this particular issue a few years back.
Okay.
You know, I went to Alaba, I went to Onisha, I went to Balogun, because I know sometimes some of us who are privileged to work for large organizations, we're detached from reality.
Mm.
So I've always been very conscious, even before getting this role, just connecting with Nigerian people. So as an accountant, I'll tell you authoritatively that nobody prints money other than the central bank.
Mm.
So if I see money in your bank account, I'll say it's possible that this is your income.
Mm.
It's possible that it's a loan.
Mm.
It's possible that it's a gift. It's possible that it's money you are holding for someone else.
Mm.
So in accounting, we say explain the source. So when I see the money, I'll say explain the source. If you're unable to explain the source, I would assume it's an income and tax it. That's the right thing to do.
Mm.
But if you can explain the source and I say, show me the evidence, and it's money you borrow to do your business, that's capital. We have no plans of taxing your capital.
Hmm.
So, madam should be rest assured that this problem is going to be, we're on our way to solving it, not complicating it.
Not complicating the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see who is here. Good morning to you. That call has dropped, so we're going to take this person here. Good morning to you. Good morning. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Okay, I want to talk to your guest this
please,
morning.
Go on, please.
I'm an operator in the economy.
Okay.
My name is Alfred.
You're welcome.
How are we going to deal with the issue of revenue leakage?
Revenue leakage.
I can tell you I'm an accountant also.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of fraudulent things happening with staff collectors.
Hmm.
They come to your office, open your books, and make all kinds of wild allegations, just to be able to make you give them money.
Mm.
And when you insist on not giving them money, they frustrate you and make your business miserable. Your tax clearance is not given to you, and all kinds of things begin to happen.
Mm.
What am I trying to say? There is a lot of leakages that can actually help government to generate a lot more revenue than we are seeing currently. If what government, or rather what people pay, gets to the hand of government, we will not be borrowing as much as we are borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot happening, and the reforms must be such that the tax system is transparent. Not that an officer on his own, with his own discretion, and he will interpret accounting standards upside down just for his own, personal income.
Mm.
This has to be, addressed quickly.
Right.
Then the other issue is that of, I'm also a stakeholder in the haulage industry.
Okay.
Where you find multiple taxation along the corridor.
Mm.
We are talking of food security, we are talking of declaring emergency on food, but I can tell you half of what is harvested in Nigeria do not get to the marketplace because of revenue officers along the way.
Mm.
If you harvest yam in Benue, for example, between Benue and Lagos, you will pay through your loans.
Mm.
So it is not worth bringing to the market. This has to be addressed also.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Incidentally, you've just highlighted some of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. First, I'd like for you to respond to the leakage that he mentioned. I think we mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
Also, please address that multiple taxation on the roads.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw a video that trended some time ago about how a trucker paid and so many taxes that the stickers that he had, if you put inside a box, sir, it will fill the box.
It was over 70. Yeah. I actually shared it. I shared it on my social media account as well because I liked what the guy did. He just collected the evidence.
Yeah.
This is no story.
Yeah.
And he was flipping one by one, you know. So, yeah, let me start with the first one around leakages. My friend that called is right. We need transparency. But I'll say that transparency is both sides. We cannot just say it's only the tax authorities that we have very honest tax officers. The same way that we have very honest Nigerians. We also have people who play games.
Hmm.
So what we want to be able to do is to leverage on the system to force transparency on all of us. There are countries where they say don't bother filing your returns because they have all the information they need already. You know, so we're saying if we can use NIN, that's the national identification number, as a primary data point identification, so that whatever you do, whether you open a bank account, whether you call on your phone, whether you enter university, whether you get a job, whatever it is that you're doing in terms of economic activities, will track that information within the system. Now, people misinterpreted it to mean that I said everybody should be taxed, otherwise they should not be able to do anything. Contrary to that, what it actually means is, no, we're trying to do, government is trying to do interventions for poor people. They said they'll pay 1,000. I just said, don't pay because we're not sure this money will get to them.
Yeah.
So imagine we had something like this before. If I just look at your behavior on your phone, on the system, it shows that you loaded 160 naira credit for the whole month, flashing everybody around. Because you can't afford to call them. Then you don't have a bank account.
Yeah.
I don't need an Oracle to tell me that you're poor.
Hmm.
Then if you don't have a bank account, you get that credit on your phone. It doesn't have to be a smartphone.
Hmm.
And we can decide that this is food stamp, which means that credit, you can only use it to buy food.
Buy food,
you can audit that 100% with no fraud. Almost no fraud. So it's
And that is doable.
It's doable. Countries, small countries are doing it. Big countries are doing it. So Nigeria can do it. We have the technology today to do it.
We do?
Yeah, of course. We have this. It's part of what we're hoping to do under this committee work. We call it data for tax. So once you collect that intelligence, then for companies, we use their CAC registration, whether it's you know, incorporated or not. So use that unique identifier to track all the intelligence within the ecosystem. You use it to establish the threshold of who should be exempted because they're poor, who should be taxed because they can afford it. And then, if you have that level of transparency, the tax officer, like this caller said, will not come to you and say, oh, I think your sales is 50 million instead of the 10 million you told me. And then it's your word against them. And the state is more powerful than you. So, which means most times you are the person to lose. One of the things we're also planning to do is, can we not create what we call the Office of Tax Ombudsman? So, this office is funded by the government to protect the vulnerable people. So, if you have one small business here trying to survive, and the taxman shows up and say, madam or guy, you are owing 10 million. You don't even know whether there's a law that says you are owing or not. You don't know whether it's 10 million that you're supposed to pay or not. You cannot afford any professional service. So you now say, I beg, go, please, oh, help me, I haven't paid school fees. Oh. Then I say, okay, madam, out of 10 million, maybe you can pay, you know, 1 million. And you now start thanking them. Maybe you're not supposed to pay anything. So this Office of Tax Ombudsman will then help you for free. Yeah, so like an advocate. So we think those will help us improve transparency in the system. Then to the second question about the multiple taxation, particularly for haulage. So you're trying to transport food from point A to point B. And in that video that we referred to earlier on, 72 different levies, 15 here, 3,000 here, they add up. And then when the food gets to the city, we are surprised that it's expensive.
Why are we surprised?
And the sad thing is that that money does not get to government. So you can't even benefit from it in terms of government is now fixing road or doing anything. So we lose from two dimensions. So what we are hoping will happen is that we can harmonize these taxes. One, you won't have to pay cash on the road. You pay only at one point, easily, maybe on your mobile phone, start something. The receipt is there. If anybody is there to enforce collection, just show it to them and you move on. Now, you now say, well, because this guy is passing through five states, that's fine. That's the essence of technology. So we'll agree at the back end how this 1,000 naira you've paid
will be shared.
Will be shared, exactly. Otherwise, you get to every local government and they don't care about the fact that you just paid in the previous local government.
You have to pay.
If you don't pay them, you can't go with your yams. Yeah. And you know that yams might get spot. Yeah. It's even worse if it's tomatoes.
Indeed. Now, let's take one or two calls. Time flies so quick.
Hello, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Please, Sherif, how do you want to tax one of the most poorest country in the world and one of the most corrupt country in the world? How is that possible? Unemployment is high. The other, yesterday, you were the one telling us that Nigeria is the most unemployed country in the world. How is this possible? I just want to, bring more hunger to the country. And this tax of a thing, there's nobody that revenue tax in the market that we are now. You, they will be collecting tax and be telling you 3,000 Lama Kosoria, and you are paying 10,000. How is all this thing going to be possible? And Sharif, this country, is gone.
First and foremost, Ms. Kyle, are you going to tax the unemployed? Or
No. We're even saying that those taxes that people are paying now, the poor people, we want to stop them. And I'll repeat this as many times as is necessary, because I know there is trust deficit. So sometimes people don't even hear what you're saying. So the plan for this committee, based on the mandate that has been given to us, is how do we stop taxing poor people? Unemployed people doing small businesses just trying to survive. Our objective is to remove the taxes that they currently pay. But I agree with him, you know, there's widespread poverty in the land, there's high unemployment. But at the same time, you would also agree with me, the top 5% people are not poor. In most countries, the top 1% alone, they pay more than the bottom 99%. So that's why personally, and this is my personal view, I believe that our strategy with the informal sector is wrong. You know, government say that's where our money, that's not where your money, is not in the informal sector. You know, the informal sector around the world, you try and exclude 99% of them from paying taxes. You just maybe target 1%. And then the rest of the population target between 3 to 5%. And that is enough in most countries to fund the economy. So that's the plan we have for our country as
Brilliant.
Well.
Brilliant. Let's speak with Tunde. After Tunde, can I talk to Tunde? No, I can't talk to Tunde. I can't. You know what? Let's take Tunde for 60 seconds. Tunde, hi.
Yeah, morning.
Oh, morning to you. Yes, please.
Yeah. The kudos to the man speaking there. I love that. But the other side of the statement I picked from him is the one that the cyber is total safe. We or maybe has forgotten or even less concerned about what happened. I had this little care in concerning the issue of jam. And his co-colleagues were able to enter into the Jamber server and do some other malpractices.
No, they didn't.
And at the same time, they have to be cautious of these young boys around that are called the Yahoo guys. How are they preventing those people to enter into their server and do some other?
Thank you, Mr. Tunde. Your fears are very legit, actually. He's talking about the susceptibility of the tech to hacking and
cybersecurity issues. Yes, you know, it doesn't matter how much you try. This is a risk. Okay. Even at government level, even the US was complaining about Russia.
That's right.
You know, interfering in their elections. But you also agree that we still have banks in Nigeria today, controlling resources in billions, if not trillions, and they are able to secure their system. So that's the level of security that we're hoping we're able to get.
Indeed. Mr. Taiwo, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
It's been amazing having you.
Thank you
for giving us your time to step into the studio live. We appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And best of luck in the mandate given to you by the president. We wish you best of luck and we wish that you'll be able to accomplish, you know, the targets given to you by the president.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm Sharif Quadri. That's our show this morning, Lagos. Stay here on Nigeria Info.